Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're a couple of best friends and credentialed NBA Clipper people who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Mm-hmm.
What a great network to be a part
of. Shout out the network, you know?
Anyways, biggest news around the Clippers and maybe even in the NBA today is that Paul George ended up coming to terms on a contract extension with the Clippers. They had some media availability to celebrate, so we're going to be talking about that, as well as maybe some thoughts on this extension. And then in segment two, we're going to do a little bit of a preview. We asked on Twitter, that's at Locked On Clips, what you guys kind of wanted to see from this, and then we'll be chiming in with some of our own stuff and a weird lineup for you. And then it's Friday, so we got a Love Mary Quarantine for you, which if you're not familiar, it's where we either love something, we marry it, or we quarantine it, which means get it the heck away from us. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So, yes, I mean, yesterday's episode was great. We talked about how great PG was and how signing him to an extension would be a good thing for the Clippers. And he did, which is great. What's going to happen is he's guaranteed as much as $226 million over the next 5 years. They extended his contract, his current contract for 4 years, $190 million on top of the $35 million, almost and a half guaranteed to him for this next year. Paul George will have a new player option before the 24-25 season. Feels so weird to talk about years 24-25. Someone pointed out on Twitter he's going to be making marginally more than Brandon Ingram, so we should all be happy about this extension, which is a great way to put it. But, like, I'm psyched. I mean, we locked it down. We don't really have any, like, draft assets or something like that, but we have a certified elite player, theoretically, for the next 5 seasons.
Yeah, definitely. And George is still, you know, relatively young, just turned 30 recently. So, you know, at 5 years, I think that you're still getting maximum value for, you know, 3 to 4 of those years, almost assuredly.
For sure.
And then just depending on, you know, what this team looks like and what his role looks like, is going to kind of determine, you know, how we feel about the value in the last year on that contract. But the thing is, right, is that this is what a superstar costs. This is what 100%. Someone who has been named to what, 4 either first team or second team all defensive teams, has been an all-star multiple times, has been in the league for 10 years and continually proven himself, that, you know, this is the cost of doing business. So it's like one of those things where I know some people were kind of shocked at the sticker price, but I don't know what you thought was going to happen.
Yeah. The way that,
I
was getting in an argument with my buddy. He was texting me. He's like, he's not worth that. And I'm like, I don't think you understand how NBA contracts worth. He's getting a max no matter where he goes. Like, this isn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you can lowball him or like get him on the cheap or something like that. Like, Tobias Absolutely Harris makes $38 million a year. Also for point of reference, his last year's $38 million. So like a lot of people are getting big contracts and this is how it goes for a guy who's a, however you want to slice it, you pay a top 15 at the very bottom player this much money.
I mean, Gordon Hayward makes $30 million a year. The guy made one all-star team and looked decent in Utah before a horrific injury that he has yet to fully bounce back from.
Yeah.
You know, like the people who were, I think, it, you know, and I've definitely been critical of PG at times, but I can because I love Paul George. So the people who are like mad about the contract or kind of bagging on the contract, this is what a superstar costs. I mean, and it would be a complete waste of assets and just terrible asset
time
management to have given up, you know, 4 picks plus pick swaps and, you know, some promising players on this team for a player to walk after 2 seasons. That's very poor asset management. And any way you look at this contract, It, you know, like to me, it's market price. So I still think that that is a tradable contract in the years that the Clippers are still in a title window. Obviously, the contract becomes less of a tradable asset in that last year or two.
For sure.
But I mean, like that's the cost of doing business.
And our situation is win now. So let's, if we, you know, he said he owes the Clippers a trophy. Someone asked him what he owed the Clippers franchise. He said he owes them a trophy, which, hey, love to hear it for sure. Now let's get after it. And that's what I think is kind of hard for some Clippers fans, kind of myself included, is like, we're spoiled right now with Kawhi and PG, right? Like we never had two players want to come here like this. Like we've never had two players of this level be like, yeah, I want to go play for the Clippers.
The Clippers have never had a free agent signing of this magnitude. No.
Yeah, ever.
And so I almost this count thing, this as a double free agency. Like,
well, that's hope. So that's the other thing. PG was asked like multiple times about Kawhi Leonard's extension, which Kawhi, just a heads up, is not eligible for an extension. So this Paul George signing does not affect that in any way. Kawhi is most likely just going to play this season out and then re-sign for the 35% max that he can get. But like there were people being like, wow, we should be really looking ahead to Giannis's free agency. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about, man? Let's look ahead to getting out of the second round and being hyped that Paul George is on the team and can help us do that. Like there's this, and I mean, someone posted this on Twitter, but for per 100 on Paul George's MVP caliber season where he was voted third, his per 100 was 35, 10, 5, and 3 on 58% true shooting. His per 100 last season was 34, 9, 6, and 2 on 59% true shooting. The underrating of Paul George that's happening right now because of the bubble is absurd. And next year, you can put all the hyperbole out there if you're Paul George talking about he's back with his MVP trainer, which is good. But he's going to have a good season. He's been consistently having good seasons. And last year, because of a couple games and wasted performances by coaching stuff, people forget how good Paul George really is.
Yeah, definitely. And we went into how elite Paul George is on the last episode because I do feel like there, I think it's recency bias, but there's definitely some misinformation out there about his contributions and just how good he is in this league.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, I don't know what else. Yeah, having him walk would have been a disaster. I mean, and the contract options were, you know, you add 3 years and you pay him till he's, what, 34. You wait for him to opt out and then give him a five-year deal in free agency next summer, or you just let him walk, which would probably negatively affect Kawhi wanting to stay, you would think. So I think this is best case scenario. You know, you're paying him till he's, what, 35 in this situation? 34, something like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, but if we keep Kawhi, if this really does help keep Kawhi, which Paul George did say, he reached out to Kawhi and was like, I'm committed to this team. See what I'm doing over here, dude. It's a great signing. It keeps the two player core, kind of what we have right now and for the future, intact and still keeps us in that contending realm.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, you know, we've talked about this on here before. There's a finite window for any team where they're like a true championship team.
Yeah.
And I would put that for most teams at around 3 years. Mm-hmm. I think if both of these guys end up re-signing, I could maybe see a five-year window.
Varying degrees of actual contention. But yeah, I would agree with that.
It definitely is a strong commitment from one of the two players. And I don't want to harp on this, but like I said, with the asset management thing, there was no other option. You can't give up what we gave up and let a player this good slip through your fingers because you don't want to pull the trigger on 35% of the cap.
And imagine what people would be saying if they let PG walk. Like,
oh,
everyone who's mad about this signing would have been doubly mad to watch PG leave this team.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And like the thing is, you know, I can sometimes get caught up in the number and the cap space thing too. But like having cap space doesn't guarantee you a player. It doesn't guarantee you anything.
Not at all.
Look at teams that have continually had a ton of cap space and they can't do dick with it because it doesn't attract other players.
Yeah.
Paul George has another great season and he can be a compliment to Kawhi. I think that's a strong pitch, even if Kawhi wants to leave for someone else to come in and join him.
Yeah, we still have someone on this team who can attract free agents should the worst happen and Kawhi not stay. Like, we're still like, all right, I mean, we have PG. Like, you want to come play with PG? No, I mean, I'm pretty psyched on it. Him doing the presser in his full uniform in an empty office was pretty funny. Him and Lawrence Frank were in separate rooms, which didn't really make any sense. We were talking about.
I will never get over why they're still using paper contracts. Like, I get that the visual is good, but to me, the visual isn't demeaned of him just using his finger on an iPad. But hey, maybe I'm alone there.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with the NBA and their recycling practices. But safe to say here at Locked On Clips, we are hyped for Paul George remaining a Clipper for theoretically half more decade. You know, he says he owes us a chip, so let's get it. Let's go and get that chip this season. Why not? It'll be a fun time. Coming up, we're going to be doing a bit of a, you know, broad preview of what we're going to try and look for in these upcoming one game tonight when you're listening to this, and another one on Sunday against the Lakers. But first, we got to give a shout out to Built Go. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you choose to do. You can break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical one. You can go right through it. Easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. It combines energy gel and collagen protein, which is great. Collagen protein is fast absorbing and it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work, beta alanine, kick of caffeine, little bit of honey, and some B3. You can keep it going strong with B6 and B12. Collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So it technically kind of literally makes you look better, which is pretty cool. If you want to get some Built Go for everyone in your family to get hyped up this Christmas season, go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED. That's all capital letters, one word. And you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right, so we're back and we're talking Clippers versus Lakers times two preview.
Yeah.
So obviously Clippers playing in their first preseason game the day that you're listening to this, and then they turn around in 48 hours for the sequel.
Monday we're going to be recapping this, so come back on Monday when we have more actual information to talk about these games with. But what we do know for sure is that there's no LeBron or AD for Friday's game. So what does this mean for Kawhi and PG's availability, right? Like, I kind of want them to play a little bit because we need just time at game speed together for the team. But I kind of feel like it puts a question on that, right?
It definitely puts a question on it. You and I have talked about, basically pretty low minutes for both of these guys in these games. But I'm right there with you. I would like to see – I don't think I want them to be not available for the game.
Yeah.
I think that, just given the additions that were made as well as just the idea that, like, there's so many new moving parts and wanting to stress – process this year. I think I'm going to say that every episode.
We have to, dude. That's what we have. Shout out LA Clippers film for that. But we have to. That's what has to be stressed.
Yeah. It just has to be about, like, building that foundation and getting championship ready by the actual time that we're supposed to be ready. So I think that Kawhi and Paul George, even 10 minutes to me is better than nothing. Even these guys playing, if they don't play the second half or whatever, I still think getting some familiarity and some time out there is better than nothing, especially just given both these guys are in Los Angeles. Kawhi's in San Diego, but they're both in California.
Yeah. Where
there has been stricter lockdown measures. So I don't think these guys have gotten a lot of, actual pickup games in or basketball activities at NBA competitive levels.
Yeah, that's a really good call. I definitely don't want to see him in like the fourth. Like, that is not something I'm interested in seeing at all. For sure.
Yeah. But on the flip side of playing them at all, these games aren't nationally televised, so you can't incur any sort of fine for resting players, which is why the Lakers are choosing to rest their big two throughout this preseason.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're at an advantage to do that, right? They got same coach, same system. They're drilled. They know what they're going to do. They know their team identity and stuff like that. I took to Twitter to see what Clippers fans on Twitter wanted to see. Big Ben with a classic. He's excited to see no Doc Rivers on the sidelines.
Ooh, ouch! I like
I know. I was like, damn. Okay, Ben.
Cold blooded.
Yeah. Clipper Spencer is excited to see the new guys and Zoo locking up Trez. That's going to be fun to watch. Anytime we see some Zoo versus Trez minutes, because those are going to happen.
Yeah, that is one of the most exciting kind of keys of the game to me, is just basically watching how we defend Trez, how we end up the first or second unit ends up going at him offensively.
Yeah.
There was a great clip floating around of PG just roasting Trez when PG was
still
on the
Thunder. That was so funny. Trez bites on this pump fake so bad. He hurls himself into the air. I'm excited. A lot of people said Zoo. A lot of people were excited to see how confident Zoo's going to look and stuff like that, which I think he's going to look good. David Neubauer wants to see how Kennard fits in, which I'm really excited to see what Luke Kennard looks like on such a short window coming to the Clippers.
I'm really excited to see how Kennard fits in. And aside from his performance on the floor, I'm excited to see how he's going to be integrated into these rotations. You know, we don't know if he's going to be sort of the de facto backup point guard. I imagine for stints when Pat Beverly is out, they might end up going back to Reggie in that starting lineup, but
just for familiarity.
Yeah, but I don't know for sure. So God, I'm curious to see how these rotations kind of work out and how they choose to pull in Lou and Kennard and Reggie and some of the younger guys as well.
Yeah, Clipside One said they're excited for the T-Man and Kevin Gelly show, which I'm excited to see Fee. With how much talk there's been about Fee, like he's going to get some run. He's going to jack up some threes, but I'm more so excited to see what he looks like kind of on that defensive end with his voice, like he's talked about, and grabbing rebounds and doing all that kind of like, you know, like that the dirty work stuff that he's hopefully kind of soaking in from Serge. And I'm just psyched to see what Serge looks like.
I'm really excited to see Serge.
100%. Now, what's this lineup idea you got here?
Oh, one last thing though on what I'm excited for. I'm excited for the Batum show.
I don't think anyone's ever said the Batum show before, but hell yeah.
Look, he's got to be one of the most unknown entities in the NBA right now, right? Like,
yeah.
he essentially didn't play last
season. He was garbage last year, yeah.
He didn't play last season. Yeah, some of the worst numbers of his career. I think that the Clips are a great fit for him. And I still think that he's got a fair amount left in the tank, and I'm really excited to see him. He's one of those guys that's like a second unit guy, so we could really see him show out in these kind of preseason games. It's what I love about the preseason. It's kind of like, you know, we talked about in the bubble, we had our bubble darlings. There's always a summer league darling. Yes. But I feel the same way about preseason. Like I'm excited for some of the quote unquote other guys to get a chance to kind of shine.
Yeah, and this is also what we're talking about now is for both games, because I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi and PG maybe only played one of these upcoming games or something like that. Like, that's a definite possibility. Let's get into this weird lineup you were talking about.
Okay, so we've been talking about these preseason things and the Clippers season in general. And I'm most excited to see Ty just kind of experimenting, just kind of throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what works. We know that he has that he has an ability to just kind of try things and, you know, adjust from there. So one weird lineup that we had to use that Doc threw out there, and it's more due to injuries, you know, than actual experimentation.
Yeah, as was Doc's experimentation always.
But there was a lineup that played about seven games together and averaged about 9 minutes a game together in those games. But that lineup was Lou Williams, Reggie Jackson, Landry Shamet, Jamichael Green, and Montrezl Harrell. And funnily enough, this team had like one of the best plus minuses of any single lineup that we threw out there that played at least 5 minutes per game in a minimum of seven games. And they just barely met the criteria for the seven games. And that they had a net rating of plus 6.7, which just for a point of reference is better than the best team's net rating in the NBA. I think the Bucks were plus 6.5 last year, and we were second with like plus 6.3, something like that.
Yeah.
But this lineup in 9 minutes averaged 24, 10, and 5. I'll let you guys break out your calculators to get the per 36 on that. But hear me out. In the spirit of this ridiculous three guard plus Jamichael Green and Montrezl Harrell lineup, I have for the jury a lineup consisting of Luke Kennard, Lou Williams, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Serge Ibaka.
Look, it seems like it'd be very hard to score in the post, but not so much anywhere else for the other team. Offensively, we're killing them. Like, the ball movement's probably crazy, but we're giving up a whole lot on the other hand.
Well, here's the thing, though. When you got two rim deterrents like Serge and Moog, the only way the other team can score is from shooting outside. And all these guys, while they're poor defenders, for sure, anyone can put their hand up to contest a shot, and shots fall as they may.
I mean, for preseason, can't wait to see this. If we see this in a regular season game, I might freak out a little bit. But I mean, yeah,
it's part of the process, baby.
We want a good process, though. Weird lineups are going to be fun. I hope we see some Serge and Zoo minutes in either of these two games. We probably will against, you know, depending when, if AD plays, there's going to be some big lineups for the Lakers that Ty Lue will probably just want to see a little bit how we can stack up, you know, personnel wise. One person who has left off people's excited to see list. Patrick Patterson, you know, the disrespect.
He does. I mean, he has played really pretty well relatively to his other performances against the Lakers.
Yeah, he can guard AD and nobody else.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And he'll come in. He'll definitely hit like three back-to-back threes in one of these preseason games.
And it's going to be insane.
And I'll read way too much into it and lose my mind.
But it's going to be fun. You know, we hope to see, obviously, Kawhi and PG a little bit. Hope they're playing well. Hope they're looking fresh. Let us know what you think at Locked On Clips. Might be doing a stream after the game, too. Not really sure. Coming up next, we're going to be talking a fan-submitted LMQ, as well as a hope that I have for the rest of this offseason.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, and it's Friday, so we got a Love, Mary quarantine for you. But before we get into that, I got to tell you about this Locked On NBA season preview. The wait, as we know, is almost over.
Oh, yeah.
By the time you're listening to this, the 2020 to 2021 NBA season will be beginning its preseason. And here at the Locked On NBA podcast, we'll get you ready with a special week of shows beginning on December 14th. You can get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts, including us. Plus, you'll hear about waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so yeah, check that out. This is a user-submitted Love, Mary, Quarantine from @MiddleUzi on Twitter. Thank you for this one. They didn't know if they were had the credentials to submit it, but anyone can submit an LMQ. If it's good, we'll do it. This one, in the spirit of the preseason talk-up, is regarding Fiondu Cabangeli. This is things Fee can do to connect with teammates and fans. First one is coffee and Wi-Fi with coffee and Fee. I also think this might be pronounced coffee and Wi-Fi with coffee and Fee. So this is just Amir Coffee and Fee drinking coffee and getting work done at a Starbucks. Just, you know, fan hangout, anything you got to work on, do some remote work, something like that. The next one is Zoom call from a gorge with Paul George. You surprise Paul George with a video chat in front of some gorgeous scenery.
Does like the wilderness.
He does. Noted fisherman. Next one is Cabin G League with Cabangeli, which is Fee has some glasses of Cabernet and then has a big game for the Agua Caliente Clippers, which order of operations seems a little interesting here for that one. And then the last one is Fee Pho Fun, just eating some pho with Fee.
Oh, man. There's some good ones in here. I am loving this Fee Pho Fun. You know me, I'm a big pho fan. I'm a big Fee fan. Might as well tie the two things together. It's a pretty solid pun. And it is apparently a requisite for a lot of pho restaurants to include a pun in their name. I'm not actually that big of a fan of the practice, but
the worst one, I'm gonna let it slide. The worst one is on, I think it's on Sunset and like kind of near Sunset and Fairfax. It's called 9021 pho or 9021 pho, but that's if you're pronouncing it wrong. It grinds my gears every time I see it. All right, what are you marrying?
I got to marry the Cavan G League with Cavan Gelly. I love, you know, Cabernet. It's, you know, it's not my favorite, but I can enjoy a good Cabernet.
Begrudgingly, you know, maybe, drinking wine with Fee.
Maybe Fee is a bigger Cabernet fan than I. And I love it. It also harkens back to like a good old-fashioned Tour de Francia. If you're unfamiliar,
that just gave me a headache thinking about doing that.
It's where you and your friend race on bikes and around a safe block where obviously there's not a lot of cars, and there's a station along one side of the route, and every time you do a lap you have to have a glass of Franzia, which if you're unfamiliar is terrible wine, and the last person on their bike wins.
Tour de France is really fun. We've had some good times with that. And which one are you quarantining?
Okay, so I got to quarantine Coffee and Wife with Coffee and Fee just because I don't know. I still am a little bit I still have some trepidation about them being with the general public at a Starbucks or something.
It's a public safety issue.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. That's legit. I'm loving Zoom call from a gorge with Paul George because I feel like this is something that like Fee would do to annoy Paul George. Like he'd be like, "Hey Paul, guess where I'm at?" Paul would be like, "What?" And then he'd Zoom call and be like, "I'm in a gorge." And Paul George would be like, I don't like this.
Is it any gorge or is it the gorge? Like in,
oh, maybe
in
it is
in Gorge Washington, George Washington.
Maybe it is the gorge. Huh. I'll have to get clarity from Middle Uzi for that.
Do you say George Washington or Gorge Washington?
I say gorge.
Town, not figure.
Oh, I say gorge.
Yeah.
I don't talk about it very often, but I got to marry Cabin G League with Cabin Gelly. The idea of him just early in his career deciding to have wine before games is probably bad. But it's funny to me, and it would be really funny if after he dropped like 25 and 16, he was like, you know, got to credit the cab for this one. Like walked away.
It just it reminds me of like Maradona or something. Like it just seems
R.I.P.
like
the God. Yeah, this would be a fun time, but maybe on the low. And I don't think I'm going to quarantine any of these. I like all of these kind of equally. I think the Coffee and Fee one, little rough from a public health perspective, but I think they'd get it figured out. If there's a team sponsored event, it's definitely getting figured out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Also, Serge would hop in on that one too.
Right next up to somebody.
I bet Serge would hop in on that one too. Something tells me he's got a pretty extensive coffee palate.
I feel like Serge would hop in on any one of these. Except
Cabin G League, he's there. He's there for sure.
It'd be so funny to have Serge on the bench at a
just glass of wine. That'd be a good time. Anything else that we got rooting around in shavings?
No, I don't think so. I think that's gonna do it for the week.
Basketball's here. Clippers basketball's here.
Yes. Hope everyone is as excited for the preseason as we are. Depending on how we can get it figured out, we might be having a stream on Twitter post game. So look around for that. We'll keep you updated. And yeah, thanks for rocking with us.
Oh yeah, Monday's episode. Carl Tart is planning to join us to talk about the weekend of Clippers basketball. Will he be depressed about it? Probably. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us on Spotify, Deezer. They can review us on iTunes, I believe. I think they're still doing that over on Apple Podcasts. Please do. We'll read it. Shout out Scott from Your Belinda. I'm never going to forget that review. Hey, Clippers basketball just around the corner, almost less than 10 days until the actual season opener starts. So everyone get hyped. Everyone be happy that PG's on the team. It's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
It's a great thing. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.